Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Heck yeah!
Aw, man, it's about to go down.
It really is.
Well, Hopefully it's going to go down.
Yeah.
If we get some questions...
Right?
From you...
Come on!
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Listening right now.
Oh, not me.
Call in.
I'm
right now. Right now. Don't think about it. You're sitting there like, I don't have anything to call him. Just call right now. Do it.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live, your 1 hour therapy session with Pastor Nate Heitzig. We'll talk about anything and everything as we always do. You can, submit an email if you'd like to keep it anonymous. studio@mystaticradio.com.
Everything except syphilis. We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. You know, I saw yesterday that lice is becoming like regular commonplace for some reason.
Huh.
The selfie.
Anti-hygiene.
Anti-hygiene mixed with selfies, putting your head together with a friend at school. For real.
Really?
Yeah. And lice has become popular among the teens. Not
That's weird because I've taken up to greeting people by rubbing my head on their head.
Oh,
hey, what's up?
Gross!
Head rub.
Why do you think I had to shave my head, man? Lice. No, I've never had lice.
Get away from me.
I've never had lice.
You heard it on Static Radio. Steve-O has lice.
How was your trip, man?
Good, man.
You went away for a few days and
yeah,
I was
Jurassic Park.
Sad and angry that I was not with you.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was good. I've never been to Nashville before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were staying at the Opryland.
Yeah.
Dude, that place is insane. It's a city.
Yeah.
Literally, my legs are more tired than they ever are living in Albuquerque. I walked so much.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like walking like to another, you know, store. It was literally felt, it was like just walking in the hotel was horrible.
Yeah.
So much walking.
So much work.
So many little paths and little places to go.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
It sounds dreadful.
But I didn't really get to go see Nashville at all. I was kind of stuck at the hotel. Literally, you get in this hotel, and there comes a point where it feels like a prison, like a giant prison, like Biodome. Like, I was stuck in Biodome, and I couldn't go anywhere. And I was like, it was everything. It was like a little incestual relationship inside this giant Biodome. Because, like, all the restaurants, you're eating there. You're going, like, and buying toiletries there.
Yeah.
You're sleeping there.
So you could have been anywhere in the
you're
world.
You're just stuck there, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm going insane.
I'm sorry.
And so finally one day I went into downtown Nashville and went and ate at a barbecue restaurant and got some records at a record store, and I had to find some form of sanity.
There you go. And now you're back just in time for us to go see a sneak preview of a movie. Are you going tomorrow night to the movie?
Oh, Son of God?
Yeah.
Mm.
Comes out Friday.
I think we're going Friday.
Okay.
We have all the tickets. You know,
exactly.
They gave the church all those tickets.
I love it. We're going tomorrow night, so we'll have a review of it Friday morning, Teo and I. We're taking Jack and Luke, actually, as our plus ones.
Well, they were doing screenings of it at NRB, but I didn't go see one.
Okay.
They were doing screenings of that, screenings of Mom's Night Out and God's Not Dead.
Okay. What about Godzilla?
Nope. No, none of that.
That was Teo's joke this morning.
They didn't do any of those.
Did you see the new trailer, though?
No. Does it look good?
Yeah. Bryan
Cranston. I heard you guys talking about Bryan Cranston.
He's in the new Godzilla film, which is why he didn't come on our show.
He wasn't on IMDb because I searched when you said it on the show. I said, Bryan Cranston, what comic book kind of movie could he be coming in? And Godzilla is not, he's not in there.
Yeah, he's the main dude. He is the grown-up man in Godzilla, and he's all over the trailer going, we've ruined it.
Ah! So it looks pretty scary?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it's interesting because as we digress into horror movies or whatever, I think it looks fascinating and I'm really excited to see it. My wife, who's one of her favorite movies is Cloverfield, said, that looks too scary. I said, are you kidding me? Cloverfield was terrifying.
Does she also have a fear of Jurassic Park?
No. This is not dinosaur size. This is much larger.
Well, okay.
They really blew him up. He's like as tall as the Empire State Building. He's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but still, I don't see what's scary about that. Like, I don't watch it, I'm like, oh crap, I'm
how
really
do you
scared
stop a giant lizard?
Yeah, but when are we ever going to see a giant lizard?
I don't know.
It's like, to have fear of something, it's got to be like, realistically, I'm not scared of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Or giant lizards, or anything else for that matter. It's like,
you'd have nowhere to run. If he popped up right now, we couldn't run because his foot is so big, he'd just go,
I'd embrace it. I'd just embrace it.
Oh, okay.
I'd just run towards him.
Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig talking about the joys of Godzilla. Although I will say this, as we're since we're just having fun and hanging out and talking, have you seen the new RoboCop?
Yes. It was good.
Okay, let's talk about this. We haven't had an opportunity, as of course, because we're going to start talking about
RoboCop.
Something cool of phone line.
Yeah, I had a question about the biblical authenticity of robot parts controlling just some lungs and a brain.
Well, here
Can
was
you explain
the thing.
That to me?
Here at Static Radio, obviously, we take culture, we take comic books, we take movies, we take music for that matter, and really look through a biblical lens. And looking at RoboCop, yes, RoboCop, through a biblical worldview, I thought it was fascinating. The idea of soul and humanity and kind of who controls what, the idea of your identity and how they thought this machine basically was going to be this machine robot and the human will, if you, yeah. You know, free will versus... Oh.
I'll be honest, I didn't think about that at one point.
What?
I literally just watched it.
Gosh,
like,
get
oh,
out.
Dude, that robot guy's blowing people up. That's awesome. Like, I didn't at one point think of it through a Christian worldview. And now that you bring it up, yeah, it's a good point, but I didn't think
about
it at all.
Oh, man, the free will of man versus, like, your programming and how you were, what you were created for, essentially. And can you break that mold? Are you predestined to have this function? I loved it.
Man. I wouldn't have enjoyed it if I would have been thinking about all that stuff during it. See, I was sitting here thinking about free will and mankind and
it
what you're made
so
for, and I'm thinking of, oh, that's awesome, a gun just came out of his thigh. I wish I could do that. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, crap, that drug dealer just got shot in the face. That's sweet. That's what I was watching it for.
Oh, the depths of your brain, Nathan Heitzig.
Dude, okay, so, but this was the thing with RoboCop. I watched the previews, and I was like, this is going to be stupid. I'm not going to watch this movie.
Right.
And my wife, Valentine's Day, so we went out to eat at sushi, and afterwards I'm like, okay, honey, what movie do you want to go see? You know, there's Princess Bride playing down at the Lobo Theater, and I'm naming, like, all these love movies that I don't want to see. And she's like, I want to see RoboCop.
Oh.
I'm like, I love you.
Yeah.
And so we went and saw it. It was a great, great movie.
Yeah.
Why can't Christians make movies like RoboCop and Godzilla?
Hey, dude. Well, I was going to say, come on, Book of Eli. Wait, never mind. It was, yeah. Line one. All right, we're going there. All right. Static.
Yeah, well, I was actually asking questions regarding the topic of movies. So RoboCop was sick, and I'm waiting for 300 to come out. I mean,
okay.
I want to see that, but it's like, oh, dude, I had a question as far as
what we put in
our
minds.
You can't take other Christians to see good movies, dude, because they get so like, I don't know if I can watch that, or I don't know. It's like, dude, what? And then, I don't know, like, how can you spend time with, like, you know, what they say, what a fellowship Christian brother? If you want to get to know someone, it's like, yeah, that, like, you know, you want to get to know them, and you want to start a friendship, but it's kind of hard, dude, sometimes, because it's like, if I want to go, like, if I want to go watch RoboCop, well, maybe we shouldn't see that, because RoboCop's kind of got a lot of violence, and I'm just kind of like, dude, what? Like, that's RoboCop.
Yeah.
I grew up with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like,
I
don't know, I just think people overanalyze things, and but it's like, how do you... How do I justify the fact of watching a movie that doesn't make me feel convicted?
I think if you have to justify it, maybe you should rethink it though, because I didn't once go, man, should I watch RoboCop?
I never once
analyzed that and thought that maybe I shouldn't, because if I do get that, I'll tell you right now, there have been times where it's like, man, I kind of want to see that movie. But should I? And when I have those moments, I usually actually end up not seeing those movies, because there are times where it's like, man, The Conjuring, which actually was made by Christians.
It was a good movie.
Really? See, I heard it was terrifying. That was actually based on a true story, and they were Christians. We had an opportunity to interview like a producer or somebody from The Conjuring. That wasn't a quote unquote Christian film because it was an R-rated horror movie. Christians made that
movie.
It was
the scariest movie
I've
ever seen in my
entire life. Dude, and I'm telling you, like, see, like, stuff like that, like, I understand not, like, to me, just as in my own personal thing, is like, yeah, I could never, like, I watched that movie and I'm telling you, dude, I was, like, freaked out. Because it's like, those kind of movies scare the crap out of me.
Because that's real.
I really don't like that, but it's like, I believe to each his own, like, to each his own conviction. You know, like, I mean, if you, and maybe that's the wrong way, but it's like, if you feel like you shouldn't watch it, okay, cool, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I don't have the same conviction towards something, or if I don't feel like, oh, you know, hey, maybe God's telling me I shouldn't watch that, I don't get that, and I do live my life as a Christian, but it's like, in some areas, like I said, like that Conjuring movie, dude, I was so scared, I never wanted to watch it again. Like, I didn't even want my wife was like, oh, we should rent The Conjuring, and I'm like, no, I don't even want that in the house.
Welcome to freedom in Christ. I mean,
yeah, exactly. You know, and so what we're talking about here, we got to draw a fine line because
Absolutely.
I feel like there are certain things, like movies, for instance, where it is totally that some can eat meat, some can't eat meat scenario from the Bible. So that is totally a,
subjective.
You know, if, it, yeah, you know, you know, for me, I have a different heart check. For me, I can see scary movies all day long, and it doesn't do anything to me. I don't feel like, man, I shouldn't see this. But if I see, you know, I went and saw a part of Wolf of Wall Street, and I had to leave that movie. Because, you know, with that, there's just this debauchery to it of them, you know, just doing, you know, copious amount of drugs and cursing and sex. And that for me is the spirit check in my heart where I feel that conviction, like, man, I shouldn't see this movie and I've got to stop. So for me, scary movies don't do it. For me, even violence doesn't do it. For me, it's that debauchery, worldly, you know, that's what does it for me. And so each one of us has that spirit heart check within us and we've got to be sensitive to that.
Yeah.
But to say that the sensing of the Holy Spirit or to say, you know, that to each his own, we got to be careful with that because, you know, that some people will take that mindset and go to the extreme like, well, you know, I know drugs aren't okay for you, but like, I don't feel convicted about it. So, you know, so we've got to draw that line and recognize there are certain things in life that can fall under the auspices of that. You know, if you can eat meat, then eat meat. If you can't eat meat, don't eat meat, you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking like murder, adultery. These are probably across the board bad things. Like those aren't things that we can be subjective with because they're pretty severe consequences for those. However, yeah, watching movies, I agree. It comes down to that personal relationship. It comes down to discernment. If you have a personal conviction about something, I would never throw that upon everybody. There are certain things I won't watch. I have plenty of Christian friends who recommend all day long Game of Thrones, and I know that I will never ever watch that show because I have other Christian friends who say, dude, Game of Bones, there's a lot of booty in there. And
I
for me, can't, I mean, I won't.
Exactly.
I've made a covenant with
my eyes.
That's, I won't see Wolf of Wall Street for that reason. Also broke the record for F-bombs in a film. Cool. It's not, that's not impressive to me. So I don't need to see that.
Yeah, and so, you know, to that extent, it is different. Now, to answer your question, because you're talking about, you know, how do you make Christian friends? Because, like, you want to go watch RoboCop, but, like, what if one of your Christian friends, you say, hey, let's go to RoboCop, they're like, oh, RoboCop, you mean Robo-Satan? you know, how do you get past that?
Yeah.
I think you learn what friends, you know, you can go see movies like that with and what friends you can't. Like, for me, there are friends in my life that I love dearly just as much as other friends, but I know that they will not see a movie unless it's animated and made by the Walt Disney Company. Even then, Disney is a little bit sketch.
Right.
You know, so I know I have friends like that. And I will not go ask those friends to go see a movie like that.
Right. Hey, you want to see 300?
Yeah.
There's animation in it. It's blood, but it's still animated.
So I know there's those friends and I'm like, hey, when I'm talking to, with those friends of what we're going to do, it's more like, hey, let's go get our wives and go to Hinkle tonight and go play miniature
Find
golf.
Find common interests.
Yeah,
let's
go to dinner and go back and just have a great conversation around a fire at our house. Then I have friends like Steve-O and I have friends like some of my friends here at church that I know that if I ask them to go see a movie like that, they're not going to be offended.
Right.
That if I ask my buddy Daniel Lusco, hey, Dan, let's go see this movie, he's not going to be like, oh, man. That really stumbled me that you asked me. I know that he's not going to care about that. So, now both of those people love Jesus Christ just as much.
Amen.
One of them because they go see these movies and one of them because they doesn't. It doesn't determine their love for Jesus Christ. It's just a conviction that they have by the Holy Spirit. And so I learn who those friends are. And also because I don't want to stumble my friends
Absolutely.
Who feel that way, I will never ask those friends and I will never tell those friends, oh, come on, it's not that bad. I'll never use those words because I know they have a conviction from the Holy Spirit and I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit within them by causing them to question that. If they've got that conviction, then God bless them. And at times, honestly, I've prayed, I'm like, Lord, I wish you'd give me a conviction like that. Because I look at that with admiration. Like, man, that's cool that they have this covenant that they're just going to be completely, they're going to abstain completely from the secular world. And there's an element where I look at that and I admire that. But it's not a conviction God's laid on my heart, you know?
Yeah. And it's a scary place to be because at times those convictions can become your functioning savior because it's like, well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't watch R-rated movies. I don't, and you have this giant list of things that you do not do. And that kind of becomes your functioning religion, if you will. And, on the flip side, as you said, we do have an obligation, those of us who don't have that conviction, if you will, not to be tools about it. I remember when I was younger and Harry Potter was the big thing and it was like, well, it doesn't bug me, so I'm going to talk all day long about it with everybody. Oh, it bothers you? Well, let me tell you what happens in the movie and I'm just going to tell you how free I am in Christ to see Harry Potter. And I was a jerk. And we have an obligation to, as he is, not to stumble and not to cause conflict. We're not trying to quarrel. We find those common interests, and maybe you're right. Maybe you go to Hinkle. Maybe you go wherever it is, you know. Do something different.
Now, I want to play the devil's advocate here, because you and I were having a conversation about static radio.
Yeah.
And about the call that we have felt as static radio, what we should do with music.
Yeah.
What would you say to that person who says, okay, well, that's great. You just said don't stumble your brother and sister in Christ, but you guys play secular music, and we know for a fact that that stumbles some people. So how do you get off by playing the secular music when it stumbles some people? How would you answer that?
You what?
Well, like, I think, dude, I would like to actually say, like, for that, to me, that's something that I really believe is, like, that reaches, like, because honestly, like, they play, like, static radio plays music that's, like, that caters to, like, every lifestyle and set of form to me, to where it's, like, it's more of a witnessing tool than it is anything. If someone says, okay, well, you're a Christian radio station, but you play Foo Fighters, it's like, dude, that one person that loves great music and that knows nothing about Christ or you know, they get that attraction to the radio station just for music alone. And then with that, you can plant those seeds through Jesus Christ to say, hey, you know, they heard an uplifting message, or they heard somebody talk on static, or they heard an interview, and they're like, whoa, dude, they actually got legit musicians and are actually in love with Christ. And they're kind of like, well, I kind of want to know that, or I kind of want to serve God now. And to me, it's like, I've had so many friends, it's like, I mean, to this day, that don't serve Christ but still listen to static radio because they're like, dude, if anything, it's all for the music. And you got, like, them, just as they would blast in their system any other radio station, they blast static radio.
Yeah.
We all do because of the fact that they don't care if there's something, like, well, I don't want to say they don't care, but they don't, to them, it's, like, not all about, like, oh, okay, well, they don't care, like they're not ashamed if they hear someone talking about Jesus because they know they have good music still coming. And to me, that's a huge attraction to all of us that are, like, really trying to find, you know, hey, well, we can't listen to this because we have to hear, like, oh, we're bad if we listen to this certain artist.
Yeah, I guess my question
are, like,
is more
so
objective.
Not judgmental. Like, you guys are so, you never judge a person. And it's like, dude, that's huge for us. Because it's like we get judged by everybody else. And it's like you guys show the love of Christ and just the love of music.
Yeah.
Dude, that's huge for us.
And that really is our goal. But I think my question would be more of an objective question. What happens if we're called not to stumble our brothers and sisters? What happens if a brother or sister claims that they were stumbled by us? What is our response?
We've had those conversations before where somebody would call in and say, hey man, you played that Mumford and Sons song. It made me really enjoy that band. This was a real situation. The very first hour, the first day of Static Radio, Skip came in. He hung out with me and Matt Gentry. We did the very first kickoff of Static Radio. And in that hour, we played Mumford & Sons. And your dad, a Mumford & Sons fan, we talked about it on the air. Well, we had a listener, an attendee, a churchgoer, if you will, here at Calvary, a member, call up the radio station because He loved the music and in turn went out and purchased the record and then freaked out when it got to like track four or whatever. And all of a sudden the F-bomb came flying through his speaker. And it kind of freaked him out. And so that was his exact call was, hey man, how can you do that to me? I trusted you. I believed that everything that you guys put out there was quote unquote safe. And, so that is the question of, well, what is the purpose? What are we doing? Are we here for the Christian or are we here for the lost? And the good news is if you're a believer and you want to listen to that uplifting for the body, encouraging type thing, there's K-Love, there's Family Life Radio.
Positive, encouraging.
There's
K-Love.
Air One. There are many other radio stations that's their calling is to uplift the body. But that's not the calling of Static Radio. We were talking about this. The very inception of KLYT, the call letters, in the very beginning, they were playing, you got the Al Green. You had this little band from Scotland, or from Ireland called, U2.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Donna Summers.
And, people were freaking out then 30 something years ago that this KLYT Christian radio station was playing artists in the secular realm. And it was crazy because it was like, wait, wait, wait. And yet at the time, it was blasting through the airwaves at campuses across
public
the
schools,
city,
yeah.
Public schools. People loved K-Lite because they were doing something different. Our calling is for the lost. And in turn, also to kind of challenge. Art is very subjective. You know, we're talking subjectively about a piece of art that someone has come out and said, hey, this is my art and this is what is poured out of me. And and they're excited about it and for whatever story they're trying to tell, whatever they're trying to do. God is in the business of redemption.
Yeah.
And you can see there are songs that we play on our station that I remember in high school held completely different meaning for me. That it maybe in college held completely different meaning for me. There were songs that back then I just couldn't listen to, man, because it reminded me of my high school girlfriend or it reminded me of this place, because music can kind of take you back to those places. But if you allow music or a smell or these things to kind of envelop you, and so much so that they trap you in your past, man, yeah. You're never going to grow. God can redeem those moments. And so I see that through Paul when he took Epimenides and said, in him we live, move, and have our being. And as some of your pagan poets have said, that was for Zeus.
Yeah.
That wasn't for Jesus.
And, you know, I think even this mindset that when we play some of these artists, and maybe this should even be a disclaimer that we add, we're not by any means promoting that you listen to that band or listen to that CD even.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're telling you that this song has a message in it that you should hear.
Yeah.
And so we're promoting the song. We're not saying, hey, here's Mumford & Sons. Everyone should go buy their CD. We're
right.
Promoting Little Lion Man. We're telling you should listen to that song.
Well, I think, yeah.
By no means are we promoting that artist. Or, you know, we play a Nine Inch Nails song. By no means are we saying, hey, why don't you go download the Nine Inch Nails catalog on your iPhone?
Right.
That's a bad decision. You should not do that.
You should
not. If you do that, it's going to be a bad day for you.
Yeah.
We're not telling you. We're telling you that this particular song has a message in it that we think you should hear.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not promoting secular music as a whole, but just so you know as well, Christian music and Christianity has some things in it that you probably don't want to hear as well. You know, we're a Christian station, so you could say, oh, cool, so I'm just going to go download every single Christian book. Well, you're going to find some books like Rob Bell that says Love Wins, that's going to have some messages in it that you might not agree with. And so just because it has the auspices or the label of a Christian label or a Christian band doesn't mean that it's going to have a good message in it either. You know?
Yeah. And speaking of music, musicians, a recent addition to the Static Radio airwaves. Are you there, Teo? I don't even know where you are. Can you just come in here? Our producer extraordinaire, also music director and current member of House of Heroes, been in the industry for a long time. When we first started, you were one of the first people I called because it was like, here's what we're doing.
Yeah. And we were excited.
Obviously, you and your wife believed in the ministry so much that you uprooted your lives and moved to New Mexico. But
we showed
what
up.
Would you say?
I think two things. Number one, the option of changing the channel is ever before you.
Right.
That's what I would have to say. Also, right. You know, and we've talked about this a lot. The same, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where it's talking about not to cause a brother to stumble. And Nate, you correct me if I'm wrong over there. But in the same place where it's talking about that, it says that
I'm just joking.
Yeah. It says that the weak should also bear with the strong. And what I'm saying is, I just get, you know, like, I believe there are situations where people are genuinely caused to stumble.
Yeah.
You know, and those are like, when you see a high-profile minister get caught up in an affair or a financial scandal, it's really disheartening to every believer. But I just feel like music a lot of times, I mean, you can shelter yourself so much, like, but I guess I just think of it like, it's like going to Walmart. You know, I walk in Walmart or I walk in any grocery store and I am constantly bombarded with things that I shouldn't see or I shouldn't hear. Yeah. You know, there's people walking on the aisle next to me that are dropping F-bombs or whatever.
Right.
And I can run up to that person, and if there's a believer, I can run up to that person if I know him, and I say, hey, bro, you're making me stumble. You are making me stumble. Or I can say, ignore.
Right.
You know?
And that's a big point, because we talk about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And with anything, by placing a stamp of either quote-unquote Christian or secular on it, we're saying, this is good. Okay, you consume this all day long without any thought to it, without any second notion of what you're intaking, or this is bad, don't have anything to do with it. Because you're right, we watch television shows regularly with our boys, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a show that we like to watch with our kids. But there are other shows on that station on ABC, like Scandal.
Nashville.
Yeah, shows that there's no freaking way I want my kids watching that. And guess what? During the commercial breaks, there are times where we're like, all right, we got to mute and we're turning it away.
Look at me. Look at me.
Either a horror movie trailer or there's some other thing on there, and I can't call ABC and go, hey man, we were watching a kid show and you put a commercial on there that caused my kid to stumble because a chick was in a bra, and now it's on you that my kid's going and looking up porn.
Wait, and it's a little different, because that is, you know, that's a network company. But what I'm saying is, as a Christian, it is very easy for you to walk around and look for excuses to stumble. And so a lot of times when people are like, you're making me stumble, it might just be cynical me, but I'm saying, are you really stumbling? Are you really up in arms about this? Are you just looking for something to complain about? Because that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
If you're a person that believes, like Nate said, you can eat meat, or there are things that we have freedom in Christ to do, then you definitely should not invite your friend who struggles. Say you want to go get a drink or something, don't invite your friend who is a struggling alcoholic to go get a drink.
Right.
And don't put him in that situation.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, if you're just a random Christian out there and you see all these things happening, are you just going to sit there and complain about them?
Right.
You know, everybody's making me stumble. You can do that all day long. So I guess for me, the battle just, but I'm not skirting the responsibility of taking care of other people.
I think too, because what happens is when we have conversations like this, what we can do is we can end up empowering Christians to be jerks. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so what I want to keep something in mind. We as Christians are always called to first try to please our brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. The verse that Matt was talking about is Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification.
Yeah.
So we are called, before pleasing ourselves, to please our neighbors, to please our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I will say this. There's a strong truth. You will never please everybody.
That's right.
True. Ever. It's never going to happen. You've got to find God's calling for your life and pursue that calling and recognize that there's always going to be certain people that aren't going to like what you're going to do.
Yeah.
The principle here is the 80-20 rule. And that is that 10% of people will love you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. You could take your clothes off and recite scripture and run up and down the streets and they'd say, man, look at that. He's just so passionate.
Filled with
you know,
spirit.
They'd love it.
Yeah.
10% of people will hate you no matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you do, no matter what you play, no matter what you say, they're always going to hate you. They're always going to look at you with the wrong motives. And then 80% of people really don't care, and they're going to kind of go with it, whatever you do, but they're going to be watching you and they're going to be just kind of weighing out the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be 10% of people that are going to hate you. They're not going to like what you do. And that doesn't mean that you can just say, when they come to you and they complain to you, say, well, I don't have to, well, I'm not here for you, you know, whatever. You don't get to be a jerk.
Nope.
You try in that moment to say, man, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Is there anything I can do? And you talk to them. And eventually you're going to find out those people, no matter how kind you are, no matter how nice you are with them, they're not going to like you.
Yeah.
But you should always go into the situation saying, how can I please this person?
Yeah. True.
How can I make this person feel better? And you might not be able to, but at least try to.
And you nailed it for Static Radio. It's not something that was flippantly done. It was something that took months and months and months of prayer and seeking the Lord, His will, His vision for the station. Where were we going? What were we doing? And so because of that, when you know that, you know, hey, this is where the Lord is leading and this is what we are doing, you, as you said, you discover that and you go forward with that, because you're right. There's going to be a percentage of people who say, nope, but when you're standing firm knowing that this is the calling that God has placed on your life, this is the assignment, this is the task He has for you in this moment, then it's really difficult to say, you know what, you're right. I'm just going to crumble. I can't do it. So anyways, man, that was a long answer.
Dude, it was. Cool. We got a call on line one and line two.
Okay.
We should be taking a break, but we have a lot of calls coming in. We
I know,
just
right?
Keep going for it. Let's just
Static.
Keep rocking it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Is it me?
Yes,
it is you.
It is you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm a first-time caller.
We're
and
awesome.
I was talking to my little brother the other day. I'm like, dude, God has a tattoo. And he looks at me like, what? And so I'm like, yeah, he's got a tattoo. It's in the Bible. And he's looking at me like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? So I told him in Revelation 19:16 that it says he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, yeah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was like, well, what does written mean? Somebody wrote it. It means it was wrote on his thigh. And he's like, what? You're crazy. And I was like, it says right there. So I'm just calling to see what you guys have to say about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is really funny. This is one of those funny verses that I love when Christians bring up for a reason to get tattoos or for a reason why tattoos are good. First of all, nowhere in that passage does it say that God has a tattoo on his leg. It says it's written on his leg.
Yeah.
Now, also throughout the Bible, there's numerous times where it says written on his heart, written on their heads, written on their hands. And what it's speaking of isn't literally that someone took a pen and wrote it on there. It's talking about a truth that is written upon them, that is visible upon them, that is a part of their lives. Now, does that mean that Jesus doesn't have literally King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his leg when he comes down from heaven? No, it doesn't. But it also means that could just be a figurative reference to the fact that he is clothed in his kingship. Yeah. His kingship, his lordship is evident upon who he is. It's visible upon him. Mm-hmm. So it could go one way or the other. It's not like there's a Greek word that's written there that means, oh, that Greek word is the word for tattoo. So before Jesus came down, God took him in his tattoo shop, and God the Father was, and Jesus, ah, that hurts.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that he literally has a tattoo, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't either.
Yeah.
Now, I will also say this, because some Christians say, you know, I want to get a tattoo, Mom and Dad. Well, you can't get a tattoo. Well, Jesus has a tattoo. He has King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his leg. And I've actually seen some Christians that literally get King of Kings written on their legs. And I look at them like, okay, so you're Jesus. Well, no, I'm not Jesus. Well, you have King of Kings written on your leg. Yeah, but that's because this verse in Revelation, yes, it's about Jesus.
Right.
So unless you're Jesus, you shouldn't
don't
be getting
that
on your leg. And also, don't use the excuse to disobey your parents or to go against what someone's thinking because, well, Jesus got one.
Right.
Well, we don't know that Jesus got one. The verse doesn't say that Jesus got one. And so don't use that as an excuse to disobey a commandment we do know is in the Bible, which is honor your father and mother.
And now this is coming from two people who
have
tattoos.
I love tattoos.
Definitely not downing tattoos in general. It's just the quote-unquote argument or things people go to. Yeah.
Because I will also say that the verses that a lot of people use of why Christians shouldn't get tattoos are also taken out of context.
Levitical law, Leviticus 19.
In the same way that pro-tattoo people can take this verse out of context, anti-tattoo people can take the other verses out of context as well.
Absolutely.
I think tattoos are great. Do I think that they're for everybody? No.
Yeah. I was talking to your dad about him on Friday. He was in here. He was on Gino Geraci's show, and we were hanging out and talking about tattoos. And, of course, he doesn't have any. And at this point in his life, it's like, meh. Nah.
I was talking to Chip Lusko, and he's thinking about getting one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your pops, not so much.
Uh-uh.
No. So, does that help you?
Yeah, man, that's cool. I hope my little brother's listening to that. I gotta go, guys.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, bro.
Yeah, thanks, man. All right, line one. Static.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, not much. Just chilling like a villain.
Well, this is kind of based on what the last caller was asking.
Oh, okay, cool.
Awesome.
About tattoos and stuff. But my question was more, I know, Steve, you mentioned, like, Leviticus and stuff like that. Certain verses in the Bible that today are somewhat disregarded, but may still have meaning, such as verses like tattoos, like in how it says, you know, it is a shame for a man to have long hair, you know, or that women should keep silent in the church is just, I wanted just to get your take on that and what you think that would,
yeah.
like if someone were to bring that up in a church today, how that would.
That's been brought up, actually.
Yeah. You know,
I'm gonna give you
the best example for this.
Yeah.
Because it is, basically in the Bible, the problem comes up, in a situation where an angel from heaven comes down and tells, Paul to eat meat. Is it Paul or Peter? He tells Paul.
Peter.
Peter. He tells Peter to eat meat. No, it's Paul. It's Paul.
Is it?
It's an axe.
You guys are like going back and forth. I can't see. I don't know.
It might be Peter. I'll have to look it up. If you could look it up while
paper, rock, scissors.
Basically, an angel comes down and says, hey, you need to eat this meat. And his response is this. Well, the Old Testament says that I shouldn't eat meat. And it's true in the law of Leviticus that you're referencing where it has a lot of other things. One of the references in there is that they should not eat unclean meat. They should not eat these meats that are prepared certain ways, these meats that are cooked certain ways, these certain kind of meats. It's called unclean. And they're told, do not eat these meats. It's an abomination before God. And it's detrimental for your soul. So this angel comes and tells him, hey, eat of the meat. And he says, I'm not going to eat what's unclean. And the angel says, do not call unclean what I have made clean. And you have this beautiful imagery that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
And so there are certain things that are within the Old Testament that have become fulfilled. And what we would call these things is it's the Levitical law. It is the law that was made not for all of mankind to govern mankind like the Ten Commandments to govern, what is right and wrong, but it is the law that was sent to govern the Israelite people specifically as they were going into a specific area. You've got to keep in mind the Israelites, before they got to their permanent dwelling place and before Jesus Christ came, they were a people that were constantly being taken over by other groups of people. And these other groups of people at the time had really wacky and crazy religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And so God set forth a set of rules and regulations to protect the Jewish people from conforming to the image of the secular world. They did it for the purpose so that they wouldn't get a tattoo on their body, which in that time period in other religions was a way to worship false gods. Yeah. He said, I don't want my people getting a tattoo because I don't want people to mistake you as a worshiper of their false god. I want them to know that you're set apart and that you worship the one true God.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want you to eat these unclean meats because these other groups of people eat these meats to worship their false gods, and I want you to be set apart so that you don't worship your false gods. I don't want you to have long hair because these other groups of people have long hair and they grow their hair out to worship false gods, but I want you to be set apart. Keep in mind, God also told Samson to grow his hair out, to
right.
not cut his hair. Wait a second, contradiction. I thought we're not supposed to have short hair. Well, Samson had really, really long hair,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so there's different situations in the Bible that we see that God calls a group of people to not do something because they're at a specific time with a specific group of people, and he doesn't want them to be stumbled
yeah.
by that situation.
What we're talking about can be found in Acts chapter 10. It's Peter's vision. He's hanging out, and yes,
good job, Teo.
Yeah, Acts chapter 10. Does that help you out?
Yeah, thanks, guys, very much.
Yeah,
that was a really good answer. Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
right
man.
There you go. Yeah, I remember one time I used to have the long hairs, and I remember somebody brought that to me, and I was actually pretty perplexed because I was thinking, wait, what? Because I hadn't read that. And so I started freaking out because that wasn't – it's easy when you go to Leviticus to go, Levitical law, and that's – wait, this is New Testament. What am I doing? And I had to really dig in on that one because
yeah.
it freaked me out. And then I realized, oh, cool. First century, male prostitutes were required – I mean, that was a way to single them out, the long hair, which is another reason why Jesus probably had short hair.
What happens when you follow the Levitical law is you become like – some crazy Mormon who like doesn't drink Coke or doesn't have long hair,
they can drink Coke,
but he has four wives.
They bought Pepsi.
He has four wives
right.
because it's like Old Testament, bro. I can have four wives. I just can't drink Coke.
Yeah, we're going to get an email on that. studio@mystaticradio.com. We do need to take a quick break. If you would like to chime in, if you would like to hang out with us, 505-338-3700. Call us from Planet Zargnon. We would love to hear from you. Shock Therapy Live, Static Radio.
Thanks to B.C. Nolan for supporting the ministry of Static Radio. B.C. Nolan, a local New Mexican artist with work exhibited in collections from Hewlett-Packard and the Discovery Channel to the Palace Collection of Costa Rica, His artworks have been featured in Jay Leno monologues and are familiar worldwide as album covers and Hollywood set pieces. Thanks, BC Nolan, for your gift to the Ministry of Static Radio. Check out bcnolan.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
See, the Bible says, Ephesians, Paul writes, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And he sums it up by saying, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So the premise Jesus works off of is there's a real devil. He's historical, he's personal, he's fallen, and everybody has a relationship with him. Once again, I love how Jesus puts it so simply and breaks it down to the irreducible minimum. You're either born again or you're not. You are either in light or you are in darkness. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either sons of God or sons of the devil. You're either for me or against me. He does that a lot.
Want to hear more from Skip Heitzig? Subscribe to the podcast at skipheitzig.com/podcasts or for a free teaching, call 1-800-922-1888.
This is The Wire.
Hey, what's up? This is 2.0 from Surge on Friday nights, and I've got an awesome hip-hop event for you that combines music and ministry. The Don't Be Pimp Tour is coming through Albuquerque, and you're invited. It's featuring Minister R&B, LP, and Tri-C on March 8th at 6 p.m. Admission is free. Come down to Calvary Chapel East, located at 12820 Indian School Road in Albuquerque. You can visit don'tbepimp.com for more details. Hip-hop is all about engaging the culture and facing today's issues just as they are. The name might seem out there to you, but the mission is real.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at MyAestheticRadio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
My bad.
Shock Therapy Live. That's a bad song.
Good morning.
I tried to rewrite it. Didn't do good.
Man, I'm sorry.
I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. We got about 6 minutes left to show.
Have you seen that Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell skit? Tight pants?
Maybe not.
So funny. It's on the Jimmy Fallon show, and Will Ferrell comes out and
when
it's got like
this happen?
crazy music, and Will Ferrell's like, I've got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. And then Jimmy Fallon comes out, and Will Ferrell's like, I'm the only guy with tight pants. I'm the only, and he's like all, and then Jimmy Fallon comes out with tight pants. He's like, I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. He's like, everybody, the Five and Dime's talking about my tight pants. And Will Ferrell starts and he says, Hey, brother, you said that everyone at the Five and Dime's talking about your tight pants, but I know for a fact that they're talking about my tight pants. He's like, oh no, I don't think so. They all sure do like my tight pants. Hey, you listen to me, Kemosabe. I'm the only guy in the city who can wear tight pants. Wow. It's great. You gotta watch it. It's funny.
Is it from the new Tonight Show?
It was from just before.
Night?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so funny.
Dude, he's been doing a great job, I will say.
He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Last Friday, highest ratings for The Tonight Show in the last 20-plus years. Him and Timberlake.
Dude, history of rap.
Yeah.
So funny.
They do a good job. So, anyways.
I like it.
Moving right along is Shock Therapy Live. And if you would like to send us your questions, like this emailer. We just got an email question. studio@mystaticradio.com. This one was like texted, mailed in, if you will.
Yeah, or call us. This is actually shaping up to be a pretty fun show. So.
Yeah, 505-338-3700, the phone number.
Yeah, the question says, what or how do you handle if you're married? That doesn't make sense, first of all.
He's maybe texting or typing. No.
And you're always in encouraging your wife to go to church, and she never wants to go because she only likes a church in Texas.
Well, yeah.
And every time... It's a very specific question.
I know.
And every time I try, turns into a fight. Hmm. When I do, I go by myself.
Man. So trying to encourage your wife to want to attend church with
that's
you.
That's not in Texas.
That's not in Texas. I'm assuming they don't live in the state of Texas. How do you encourage a spouse to want to go to church with you? Every time he tries, it turns into a fight.
Well, this is the thing. As a husband, because you're a husband with the wife, there comes a point if she's a believer that you lead spiritually and you don't let it become a debate of, hey, do you want to go to church? You say, hey, we're going to go to church today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to go to church. Well, this is a family founded on Christian values. We're going to go to church. Well, I don't like that church. I only like a church in Texas. Everything's not better in Texas, honey.
I don't know. I was born in Texas. I kind of feel like Texas is pretty great.
It's not true.
Although the churches, maybe there's a, I'm sure there's a church like the church in Texas out here. Are you kidding me? There's got to be. I don't know.
Yeah, there's good churches and bad churches here. So yeah, if it's a bad church in Texas, you can find a bad church here. If it was a good church in Texas, you can find a good one here.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's hard. Well, I see. It's hard for this husband. I feel for you, man, because I know so many people who get caught up on, well, I don't like the way they
I've got the solution.
Okay.
I've got it.
Okay.
It just came to me.
Boom.
Holy Spirit. He shot it into my head.
Okay. Podcast from Texas.
Like a cougar.
<Just kidding.
laughs> Okay. So this is what you do.
All right.
Get your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Get a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And do a conference call to the church in Texas and say, hey, we just moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Would you please recommend a church here in Albuquerque because
gotcha.
We loved your church there? And have them recommend to you a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, and if...
Boom,
yeah.
Solution. And then next time your wife complains, say, hey, this was the church that your church said that we should go to, and you like your church, so are you calling your church liars?
Man, I have such a hard time when it's like, this is where I hang my hat, this sole one church in this one town, in this one... That's a scary place to be, because if you think that those humans are doing it better than other humans, I mean, there are some good churches, there are some bad churches. But
yeah, that's like how the Crusades got started. So
dude.
Unless you want a bunch of people to die, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes left. I believe this coincides with it. Let's go to line two. Hello, Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, I was calling it's kind of like the last question. I've been trying to get my parents to go to church, but both of them say that they don't feel like they have to. And I was just going to see if there was, like, some kind of a recommendation for that.
Yeah. I mean, talking parents here. You got to be respectful of one. But you mean, do they consider themselves Christians and say, yeah, we're Christians, we just don't need to go to church?
Yeah, that's exactly what they say.
Gotcha. Yeah, the verse to reference for that would be, it says, do not forsake the fellowship of brethren. The gathering together, I think, of brethren. It's specifically in reference to church, and it's specifically in reference to us being involved in church. And we as Christians weren't meant to live life on our own. We are meant to live life in community. And a huge part of that is church. We are meant to be involved with a group of people that can give us accountability, that can pray for us, that can help us in our time of need. And without that, we're not living the Christian life to the fullest extent of what it was supposed to be. Now, can you be a Christian and not go to church? Yeah. But can you have a really strong relationship with God the way he intended you to without going to church? No, you can't.
Yeah.
God intended for us to go to church to help us in our lives. So you can be a Christian by not going to church, just not a very good one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Hey,
awesome.
That's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is where you find that verse. It talks about meeting together and the purpose of it and why we are called to meet together. So Hebrews chapter 10, check it out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome, man. God bless.
Go. All right. We have a minute and a half. Here we go. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Line one.
Hello. Holy Spirit beam. Did that help?
Hello?
Hey, it worked. Holy Spirit beam worked.
You got a minute and a half at this point.
Go.
Is this me?
Yes, this is you.
Yeah, I had a question actually regarding like the chapter of Job.
It's funny. It said here, just so you know, super random. I know we're going to go off topic. It says in regards to Job, but the way I read it, it says in regards to job. So I was like, oh, he's got a job question.
Yeah. Can you hire me? No. I have a question actually. Like with the whole part of like Satan comes to God and tells him like I can get people to love me more than you, or like when God takes everything away from him, so that way like he can prove that he still loves God more than Satan. Isn't that, in a sense, kind of, like, prideful, like, taking that as a challenge, and isn't that in itself, like, a sin?
God did not take anything away from Job. He allowed Satan...
To take it.
To take it. He said...
Okay.
Basically,
God didn't spitefully go, oh, yeah, watch this, and then smite Job's family and everything. He allowed Satan
Yeah, so basically what happened in the story is Satan comes up accusing what Satan is called is the accuser of brethren. And,
right.
By the way, this is a really cool thing. We know right now that Satan is standing at the left hand of God accusing the brethren, and Jesus is interceding for us.
Right.
So what happened is Satan comes and he's accusing the brethren. He's telling God about how bad humanity is, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan's like, "Oh yeah, well the only reason that he loves you is because he has all this stuff and he's got all this stuff. If you let me take away stuff from him, then he wouldn't love you anymore." And God just says, "Hey, if you wanna expend your energy trying to do that, go for it, because right. I know his heart and he loves me."
Right.
And so it wasn't a challenge by any means. It was simply Satan accusing and God realistically standing up for Job and saying, "No, Job is upright in heart. Job loves me."
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, but you know, the cool part again now is in the New Testament, we know that when Satan accuses us, Jesus is right there to intercede for us and say, "No, that's not true. They're covered by my blood. They're washed white as snow. And all your accusations fall short because they have a relationship with me." And so,
amen.
We've got an accuser, but we've also got an interceder, and his name is Jesus.
Absolutely. Perfect way to end the show. We begin, we end with Bam. Jesus, because that is the summation of everything. All right, we are out of time. If you missed any part of it, mystaticradio.com. Check out the podcast.
Yes.
We'll see you
Don't
next
be a stranger.
Week.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.